But when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning and welcome to Monday, October 14th. It's Columbus Day today.
How about that?
Yeah, how about
it? Well, happy Columbus Day to you, Sam.
Yeah, thank you. So if you guys wonder why your bank is closed, now you know.
There you go. Are schools closed? I can't remember
schools
if I was off
school.
Schools
are closed. It's a federal holiday, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sure. Yeah. So a lot of things are closed. The roads are kind of empty, which is nice.
Yeah, yeah, I flew here this morning, come to think of it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I don't hate that. Clear roads. Love it.
Yeah. So how are you doing this morning?
I'm great. How are you doing? How was your weekend?
What is that you're sporting on your head now?
This is a, they're called halos. But they're not real flowers. They're fake, but they're they're individual flowers, and they're all like twisted together to make a little like flower crown. It's like a little halo.
Crown. Yeah.
Yeah. My friend Molly Vonkasan, she makes them. She's like a, you know, she makes clothes and she's a designer, and and she sells these. So I bought a couple of them. I had over the weekend, like on Saturday, I had three different themed birthday parties.
Oh, okay.
So the first one was yeah, people love doing like themed birthday parties now. That's kind of like the new thing.
Right.
Which I think is super clever. But this is the same group of friends. Remember when I did that animal theme party?
Yes.
When I was on that party bus? Well, this girl's roommate, you know, it was her birthday party now, so they threw a kind of like hippie boho chic themed birthday party, and they just had it. It was actually beautiful. It was on the rooftop of their apartment building.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and it was really nice because it was right, you know, it's kind of like overlooking Sunset, you know, because it's just off of, like, it's like near, like, you know, Sunset and, you know, off of like Fountain and like Fuller or something. So it was like right there. So you're just kind of in the middle of everything. And it was really nice view. It was a gorgeous day too.
Yeah, it was. It was, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
so that's
nice.
Why I'm why I'm still sporting the halo crown. I like it. It's so cute. But yeah, it was part of my
whole
boho chic get up.
Oh, I see. Okay. So what's boho?
You know, I don't even know. Like, I had to like Google research it. I mean, I know it's kind of like boho, like bohemian style, like very like kind of like Coachella-esque, but a little bit less like Indian-like. Like, I feel like Coachella people wear, it's kind of like that boho style, but they put, like, a lot of, like, feathers and stuff to it. Like, more of, like, a Native American chic. But, yeah, that's kind of the best way I can really describe it. When I try to Google image boho chic, a lot of, like, Coachella photos come up of, like, people at Coachella and, you know, stuff like that. So that's why I tried to, like, base it off of. And I asked my friend, I'm like, what does that even mean? She's like, I don't know, just think, like, hippie kind of. So I'm like, okay, tie-dye maybe, I don't know. But yeah, and the invitation, it mentioned something about flowers in your hair, so where I got the idea to buy the, you know, little crowns from my friend. So
okay.
Yeah,
good. Always have to be color coordinated and everything, right?
Yes, of course.
There you go.
But yeah, then the second party was a masquerade. So I had to get, like, a mask, you know, with, like, feathers and glitter and all that nonsense. And then the third party.
So you like to go all out for these parties.
I do. It's so much fun. Like, I'd rather have themed parties that are somewhat, like, the theme is somewhat easy to come up with, you know, right. like really impossible stuff. It's like, where am I going to find something cute for that?
Right.
But it definitely helps, like, for females. It helps us, you know, with our wardrobe choices.
Yeah.
If we know we have some kind of curriculum to follow.
That's true.
But the leather and lace was cool.
Nice.
You know, I mean, my shoes were leather, but the rest of me was lace. Like, I had lace on my dress, and
then
I had these cool, like, hand, like fingerless glove things that went up my arm,
Madonna
and, you know,
stuff.
Those were, and then those were lace. So, like, mostly, like, the guys were, like, leather, you know, like, leather jackets, and a lot of the girls wore lace.
Yeah.
So that was, that was kind of
cool. Good. Any boats, yachts, cruises?
No, actually, you're supposed to yesterday, but I don't know. It's pretty pretty worn out from the, the three themed birthday parties all day Saturday. But it was cool. The leather and lace one was very, like, it was kind of like Playboy Mansion party-esque because they had, like, the cages, and the girls dancing in the cages were fully nude, but they were body painted.
Oh, really?
But they were fully nude.
Right.
Like, I was like, wow, okay. Yeah. You know, I was talking to the girl whose husband actually, like, you know, was, like, videoing, like, the process of them, you know, the party and then painting the girls. So she's like, oh, yeah, we've just, you know, been seeing pussy and tits all day long, you know, just pussy and tits being painted. I'm like, oh, okay, that's nice. And I look and I'm like, oh, my gosh, they really are naked. Like, no, like, thong, like, nothing.
And they were dancing inside cages?
And they were dancing inside cages, yes.
Wow. Oh, God, the shit that people put together, you know, is amazing to
Ridiculous.
Me.
But it was entertaining.
Yeah, I guess it sounds
I didn't hate it. But what about you, Sam? How was your weekend?
What about me? You know, my weekends are boring. You know, there's nothing to report, really. Yeah, just another weekend. I leave the parting to you, and then I live vicariously through that.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough.
You got to remember, I mean, in the 20s, that's all you do is you party, you know, so you're doing what you should be doing, you know.
And what's funny is that I really didn't start partying until, I want to say, New Year's of this year, like this past New Year's.
Yeah.
Because I was in Miami, and I was like kind of first, like, introduced to, like the club life, you know, like that kind of EDM world and DJs and electronic music and lights and clubs
and
all
love
that.
It now.
And now, now I like it, you know, and Vegas and all that. Although it's been, I want to say, it's been almost like a full month since I've been to Vegas.
Oh, wow.
So funny because people say that all the time, like, oh, you're such a Vegas chick. I'm like, I've been there three times.
Yeah.
They just so happen to be, like, spaced out monthly.
Unless you enjoy it there. It's cool for you. You like it there.
Oh,
so
yeah, for sure.
That's
for
a good
thing. I mean,
you know?
Really, when you're with the right people, you can go pretty much anywhere and have a good time.
Right.
You know, that's kind of the, you know,
that's
kind of the way I look at it.
That's true, yeah. So it doesn't matter where you go. That's
yeah.
for sure, yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear you're all active and happy and all that.
Yeah.
You know, even when you don't go on a boat or on a cruise, you still
can.
I mean, I know it's, like, traumatic for you, but you managed to recover.
I do love both. And it's so funny because when I first heard about it, like, oh, yeah, we're going on the boat again, I thought it was the boat that, you know, because I was in San Diego, you know, the weekend before. I thought it was, like, a boat like that, like, we're on San Diego, like, a little, like, kind of the boat that I have in in Wisconsin, actually.
Uh-huh.
Like the wakeboarding tower, you know, just fits about, like, you know, 12, maybe, like, 14 people at the most. That would actually be pushing it. And then I'm, like, looking at the invitation. I'm like, oh, no. This is, like, a full-out, like, yacht cruise. This is not the same little boat. I'm like, no, this is not going to be, like, a relaxing day on the boat. This is, like, a party ship. I'm like, I think we'll take
so
a pass
this time.
So you
got to dress a little differently, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we had a really, really lazy Sunday. Yesterday was nice. We saw, actually, Machete Kills, the second one.
Machete? Isn't it Machete?
Well, I say Machete because that's how they, you know, the
Latinos
pronounce it.
Oh, okay.
Like, even though, like, what he says, oh, Machete, don't fail. Like, that's how,
okay.
It is Machete, like,
right.
In, you know, English, but.
Right, okay.
You notice
I
in the
just
movie,
wanted to make
machete.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
So, what's it about?
It's about, well, you know, it's kind of, did you see the first one?
No. Oh, there was the first one?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, this was the sequel. And I feel like, I mean, it was good. Like, it kind of had that same, like, funny, cheesy flair to it.
Right.
You know, but I don't know. I think the reason why I feel like I like the first one better is that it had more of, like, that shock value.
Right.
You know, because it was just super, like, outrageously, like, bloody and gruesome and things blowing up.
Right.
But now this time you sort of expect it.
Right.
So they're just, you know, trying to, you know, throw other things out there. But,
right, yeah.
But yeah, it was still very entertaining.
That's the problem with films that introduce, like, new topics and stuff, like unusual stuff like the Matrix, for example. Once you get over the concept, then it's not that great anymore. So the sequels are not as good.
But you know what? They make killer money because if you have, you know what I mean? If you have a great first one, you know everybody's going to be lining up to see that sequel.
Yeah.
Just because the first one was so great.
Yeah.
So it's still a win-win situation.
I guess
most
for
of
them,
the time
yeah.
for them.
When they make money, that is.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I just want to bring up the fact that, have you heard about the controversy over the Redskins name, the Washington Redskins? This controversy now that Redskins is a racial slur.
Yeah.
And they've been talking about it for a while.
Yeah. I've heard about that for quite some time now. They're like, oh, it's not politically correct.
Yeah, they're saying that Native Indians take offense in that. So, but that's pretty weird, you know, how...
Yeah, you can't, you know,
how
you
names
can't that, do anything these days.
Yeah, you know, I mean, these are names and words that have existed for hundreds of years. And nobody's taken issue with them before. You
right.
know, suddenly
now it's like all of a sudden
you're right.
has a
it's
problem with everything.
Politically correct, you know. It's like everything's got to be just right and not to hurt anybody, not to offend anybody. And it's like, you know, everybody's totally sheltered and can't deal with life, you know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It.
Like,
yeah.
now you can't just be like, oh, Merry Christmas, or oh, Happy Hanukkah. It's, no, you have to say Happy Holidays.
Yeah.
Happy Holidays, okay?
Yeah.
You know, not everybody, you know, celebrates the same thing. It's like,
right.
whoa, sorry, okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so, everybody's just so strict about wordage these days.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I know. But, you know, I mean, that's what, words are powerful and stuff. And I guess people feel that,
it's just interesting that people are just speaking out, like, now about it. Where it's, you know, it's.
Yeah.
The name's been around forever.
I know.
You know, the team's been around for a good few years or so now. So,
that's true, yeah.
I mean, come on. But, yeah, everybody, you know, everybody has a right to their opinion and can be outspoken about what they feel. So, it'll be interesting to see if, you know, what they do about it eventually in years to come if they
let them just be called
it.
Skins or something, you know. They don't need to be Redskins. Skins is good. The Washington Skins.
Washington Skins.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get to our guest because he's sitting here impatiently, I might add, because I know him and he's very restless and hyper. We have Andy Steinhauser in the studio. Welcome to the show, Andy.
Good morning. Wow. Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Of
I love
course.
It.
Yeah.
And it's not my normal hours in the station.
No. What time do you usually get up in the morning?
Oh, well, it depends. I can get up early if I have to, but I try to make my life so that my wake up time is between 10 and 11 in the morning.
Oh,
I try to format my life so that's possible.
Yeah.
That's my goal. That's like one of my big goals in life.
Really? My goal is to actually get up earlier, but that's when I get up on the weekend is 11.
Yeah, I've just given up on the fact that I'm not a morning person.
You're not a morning person.
I'll never will be.
Yeah.
You know? I'm done fighting it.
Yeah.
I've succumbed.
So what time do you usually go to bed then?
Late. I'm bad. Huh? I go to bed at like 1 in the morning. At,
oh, really?
That's like, 1 is early, 2 is like the normal bedtime.
So, 1 to 11. Yeah.
We always talk about
night
that.
Owl.
So, you get at 9, 10 hours of sleep. That's not bad, you know?
Yeah, I like to get like 8
I'm
or
sure. Shit. You think 1 is late. I go to sleep at 3,
yeah,
get up
for
at
us,
8.
For us, we go to bed at 2, we get up at like
I
8.
I don't know how, I know. I was thinking about that when I was driving over. I was like, I don't know if I could do a morning show.
Mm.
It's so early.
Yeah.
I'm just more awake at night. That's just the way I've always
been. Mm-hmm. Do you believe some people do like radio shows like at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know? How can you possibly talk so early in the morning?
You know, they go to bed at like 8 o'clock
yeah,
at night.
Yeah, 8 or 9.
Like Howard
right.
Stern and stuff.
Yeah.
Like I remember I used to listen to Howard Stern like religiously.
Right.
And I remember they used to always talk about like their lives and what they do is like, so they film their radio show at like 6 in the morning, you right. know, East Coast time.
Yeah.
And then they go right from there to, like, they go have, like, lunch, which is basically dinner, and then they go, like, immediately from there, and then they have their party or whatever. If they wanted to go out, like, to the bars, they would go out at, like, 2 in the afternoon, right. you know, then be home by, like, 4 or 5 and winding it down and asleep by,
That's
like,
true.
8 o'clock.
Yeah, they
would 8, talk 9 about
o'clock.
That a lot.
Yeah, they mm-hmm. did. Yeah. I used to watch a lot. I mean, I used to listen to a lot of Howard Stern, too, but it seems like I don't have the time anymore, you know.
I mean, no, I know.
It's a long show. It's 4 hours every day, you know. Who's
yeah.
got time for it?
No, I don't have time for that either.
But I miss it. You know,
he's good, though. It. Howard's yeah. great. I mean, he's kind of like the pioneer in this space, and he's really yeah. just his style, you know. He's so honest and raw and 100% yeah. who he is, never wavered. And that's, I mean, yeah. that's why people gravitate
to him. And he's entertaining, too. You know, he's funny and stuff. And yeah. He's got all kinds of crazy ideas. So, Andy, you host a show here on Tuesdays at 8, and it's called The Andy Steinhauser Show.
Well, hopefully not. No, it's called The Story with Andy Steinhauser.
Okay.
And basically, yeah, I love doing it. What we do is we get interesting people and profile them with a real full 50-minute flushed out, you know, biographical, with a lot of, you know, it's a chance for people that are established to really get a chance to talk about their work in a way that's like otherwise possible. I mean,
right.
you know, you would never, if you were, you know, an established actor or whatever, you would never come just grab a microphone and say, hey, everybody, so I'm from Georgia and here, this is my life and this is why I chose to take that part and this is why I do this. Like, you just would never say these things.
Right.
So it just gives people a chance to connect with their fans in a way that is otherwise not possible. I mean, I try to design the show so it's like, you're hearing a story firsthand, mm-hmm. and it's like you're just the third person in the room, and you're
yeah.
like, oh, you're hanging out with your favorite whoever. And then the other side of that is it's not just established. We try to get up-and-coming people or somebody that may have a very interesting, unique
yeah.
story that is just like nothing you've ever heard.
Right.
So we like to give light and exposure to up-and-coming brands and people that we feel can, you know, give back in the world and have something, you know, really great to offer.
Right.
So we give them a
really
spotlight.
Sounds good. Yeah. So, I mean, how did the idea come about for you?
Well, it's kind of that's a bit of a long story. See, I used to be a cruise director. I used to work on cruise ships. I did that.
Oh, that's awesome. I love cruises.
Yeah. Well, I apparently,
I've been
yeah.
on, like, a million. I love it.
Yeah. Well, these are a little bit even bigger than the boats.
Like,
that
no,
you party
like Royal Caribbean
exactly.
status.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I used to work at, yeah, I worked 6 years at Royal Caribbean
oh,
and
nice.
3 years at Norwegian. Yeah, that was an amazing experience that totally shaped, you know, who I am and my life. And, you know, I had no regrets. I had the greatest time and the greatest experience and met the most interesting, fascinating people. And that's a whole nother show to right. really go into that. But anyway, I did that a cruise director job for 3 years. And it was just kind of like at the end, I kind of pinnacled. But what I took away from it the most was that what I really loved about the job, there was a lot of aspects of the job that I really liked, but what I really, really was, you know, honestly loved the most was just all the hosting.
Yeah.
And so, because I mean, I had my own TV show there. I had my own, I mean, like, I had my own station. It was crazy. I had like
really?
A green screen and 3 cameras and like a production team. And
wow.
I mean, it was very, I had a lot of power. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Aww.
Just in the fact that I could be like, hey guys, let's do a travel show.
Right.
Let's go to Rome today and let's film like a total Travel Channel episode. And we would do that and we'd make it up. And,
wow.
you know, they loved it too because they could create. And I was like, I would give them the full power to direct and produce the show. And, you know, I'm the talent. Tell me what you want me to do. And
right.
we did a lot of that stuff. And that was always my favorite stuff. And I did news shows and I did talk shows and I
nice.
Did game shows and you name it. But that was my favorite.
So you like
thing.
To perform. You're a performer for sure.
You know, I mean, I guess it's funny because I don't really think of myself like that. Like I'm an entertainer. I'm a performer.
Right.
I feel like I'm a vehicle for other people's artistic talents. Mm. Like I have a knack for displaying other people's abilities in a way.
Cool.
I'm like a messenger.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So that's why I love to host. And so I moved to LA, and just, you know, fought the good
yeah.
fight to get everything off the ground, which was not easy.
Yeah. Where
all.
Are you originally from, Andy?
Well, I'm originally from Georgia.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm from like a small town.
Small town?
Yeah. Anybody that listens to the show will know. I kind of talk about it a little bit occasionally as it comes up, if it's relevant to the guest. But yeah, I'm from, it's actually not a small town. It's like 225,000 people.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, I love my hometown.
It was too small for you. Huh?
It was, yeah, it is. You know, I just always had such a bigger idea of what I wanted to do with my life. And it's just, anybody will tell you, Columbus, Georgia is a wonderful place to raise a family.
Oh, wow.
The people are so nice.
Yeah.
Everything is, it's very convenient. It's easy to get around. But it's very suburban.
Right.
And
so that's where you were born and grew up there as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, born and raised. Uh-huh. Yep, Southern Jew. one of the 15.
Yeah, not many of those.
No, it's so funny. Like being out here in LA, everybody's Jewish.
Yeah.
It's great.
Like,
especially in the valley.
Shabbat
here,
shalom. Yeah. But growing up, I mean, there was like in my year or my grade, you know, like we had
right.
Sunday school. We went, you know, just because there was nothing else to do on Sunday because all the other kids were at church.
Right.
So all the Jews got together. Anyway, we had Sunday school and there was like, I think 13 of us. And that was considered like a really big group.
Really?
So there's like 13 Jewish kids my age in the whole city.
What?
Like the whole city of 225,000 people. Yeah. So yeah, it was interesting. But yeah. I mean, yeah, that's just one little piece of my identity.
Right.
But
yeah. Now, do you have any siblings?
I do. Yeah, I have a brother. We're about a year and a half apart. And I know we're like Irish twins, 18 months apart, and we are night and day.
He's day and night.
Really? Yeah. No, it's great. He actually runs it's interesting. We have a family business in Georgia, and it's been around over 100 years.
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
It was 100 years
cool.
in 1990, I want to say 6. I hope I don't
Whoa.
Get that wrong.
What's
no,
that?
No, no, no. 1992. So it's like almost 125 years
wow.
now.
Right.
120 years. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. My great-great-grandfather, amazing guy named Saul Loeb, started a wholesale business back in Columbus, Georgia. And it was because we were like an up-and-coming trade town back then in Columbus. It was along the river, and so it was kind of a bit of a trading post. And so, yeah, great, I might even be another great grandfather. He started the business, and it just went down like generation to generation. My dad was the one from his generation that took it over, and my dad did it for many years, but it was wholesale.
Right.
It was always wholesale food and tobacco back then, you know, when that was the thing you sold. And but that business changed a lot.
Yeah.
And so my dad actually wound up having to sell that off and merge with some other companies, but over time he retained the name. And so we've retained the name, and now my brother has reinvented the business as a moving and storage company.
Oh,
so
wow.
If you're moving, go to SaulLoeb.com. And it's amazing family-owned company, and they're great. Yeah.
But how many people are from Columbus, Georgia? Come on. I mean,
not that many,
okay,
but
so
they move all over. You don't have to be moving to Columbus.
Okay.
But there's a big military base there.
Oh,
so
really?
That's what fuels the city, I would say, of the biggest thing that fuels the city.
Right.
Yeah, it's called Fort Benning. You may have heard of it. It's in movies and
stuff. I've heard of it.
Very cool. That's so awesome. It's like
so
been
you
around
your,
forever. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you and your brother get along? I mean, did you get along growing
no.
up?
No.
Not growing up.
No, we fought like cats and dogs.
Really?
Yeah, we're just so different. You know, we're just different people.
Right.
And it's so funny. Like now, we get along great now. And he's married and has kids. And so I've got two beautiful nieces, and they're awesome. And we're really close. Yeah. So now we're really close and we get along great. But yeah, we're just, and even to this day, you know, we're just very different people.
Yeah.
We're just born under different moons, I guess.
Yeah, that's the thing. It doesn't matter. You're in the same family, you know? I mean, people turn out totally different, you know?
I know. It's interesting. Yeah. I mean, you guys probably have that too. I mean, you have kids, Sam, so, you know.
Yeah, I have kids.
Are your
kids brothers
different?
And stuff. Yeah, they're very different. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you and your brother?
It is normal for, you know, siblings, especially at a younger age, to like not exactly get along and have their little tiffs every now and then. My brother and I, we always, you know, we got along fairly well. Aside from like the normal sibling nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and now we're, you know, obviously since, you know, we're a little bit, you know, older now, we're, you know, a lot closer and not to the point where like we talk every day. But when I, you know, come home or when he comes here to visit me, I mean, he used to live with me.
Mm.
I had him out here.
That's
and
cool.
And that was a blast. Like we had such a fun time.
Yeah.
And that's, I feel like that's what really got us, you know, closer. Yeah. But yeah, when I go home or he comes here to visit me, it's like no time has passed.
Right.
It's, you know, we still have our That's same cool. stupid, funny inside jokes, and that yeah, that'll never change.
I find siblings are usually one way or the other. They're usually like very, very close, like, you know, inseparable, or they're like super different, yeah. and kind of like on other sides of the spectrum. And then usually as you become adults, you come back together. I yeah. feel like hopefully, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, luckily that happened for us. Yeah. Shout out to my brother.
I know, you know, I mean, the thing is, I have one brother that I've been close with, but my youngest brother, we never really hit it off. I mean, it's pretty weird, you know.
He's 12
years younger than me, yeah. And he's totally different, yeah. So you have to learn to live with that, you know. What are you gonna do? You know, you don't choose your family, you know.
No, you don't. Yeah.
It's not like friends and stuff. So, so cool. So you grew up there, and what did you do after high school?
Well, I actually got lucky. I got into all the colleges that I wanted to go to, but I wound up going to my first choice, which is the College of Charleston in South Carolina.
Oh.
It's a beautiful school. It's like right by the beach. It's located in a city, which was at like 500,000 people. I guess now it's like 600,000 plus now. Charleston's right. growing a lot. But I thought, you know, God, I'm going to the big city, like 600,000 people. It's going to be massive. Yeah. And it was to me for a really long time. But I had an amazing experience at college. It was great time. I met the most amazing people. It's a beautiful location. I was on the swim team. I was the captain of the swim team.
And wow.
I was very involved in the extracurriculars, I think. Yeah. I mean, we won't go into my grade point average, but let's just say I was a very active, involved student and had a wonderful time and a great experience. And I couldn't let go. I lived there for one full year after college. Because Charleston, have you ever been to Charleston, South Carolina?
Yeah. Yeah, wait, no, I've been in North Carolina.
Not Charlotte, Charleston.
Okay, yeah.
Have you been
no.
to Charleston?
No, never have.
Oh, my God, you guys have to go. It's, you know what it is, though? I think it's a perfect place to go, like maybe for a couple's trip or something mm-hmm. like that, because a lot of like romantic bed and breakfasts. And
really?
Now it's all, I mean, it was always a food town, always a big food town. I mean, we were kind of ridiculous. It was a very unique college experience because we were like 20 years old, and we would be going to these ridiculously like fancy dinners, you know, like down, you know, we're talking like Restaurant Row type stuff in LA, like over the top fancy dinners at 20 years old. But you know, we just thought that that was the what we did because they were right there, you know. It was like, why not?
That's
so
true.
It's a real foodie town. Like the restaurants are amazing.
Really?
Oh my God. Yeah.
So you had a good time in college?
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Understatement.
Yeah. What did you study there? What did you major?
Communications.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You knew that's what you wanted to do.
Yeah, it's interesting. When I was in college, I thought that I wanted to be a talent agent. It was kind of like, this is the only thing that sings to me, you know? And I never thought about being in front of the camera. I mean, I did some like plays in high school, but I was not a very good actor. But I loved that. You know, I did love performing, and I loved being around entertainment type people.
Right.
Because I just love the creative types and the, you know, the interesting characters that you meet. And, you know, I love being around that. So I thought, you know, I've got like this business side of me, and I've got like business runs in the family veins. You know, we're all business people in my family. And so.
Well, you are Jewish, you know.
pretty much. Yeah. No, it's so, you know, what's funny about that is I have a lot of friends now, like from, you know, the cruise ship days and stuff that I've known now for a while. And I find myself, I'm nobody to give anybody financial advice, but I find them kind of like giving people a little bit of financial advice that are younger than me now.
Yeah.
You know, and they're telling me, and they're like, I hear what they're doing, and I'm like, what are you doing with your money? And I'm like, no, you need to do this and this. I'm like, I'm nobody to give you financial advice, but it happens a lot. Like, I don't know what do you think that is, Sam? I mean, I think maybe subconsciously, I think my parents, they never were like, you know, this is exactly what you do with money, but money was a discussed subject, and it was,
that's good.
You know, this is how you put money in the bank, and it was, you know, it was kind of like orchestrated.
Right.
I mean, I was definitely set up in a good way.
That's good. So you come from a well-off family?
No.
I mean,
well, no, God, we're not. I would never say we're not, like, you know, we're definitely, you know, it was a blessed life.
Not necessarily rich, but I mean,
you had what you wanted. Oh, yeah, just a nice upper middle class, if you could say that. I mean, in Georgia, we would not be here. But there's a different pay scale over there.
Yeah.
You know. But, definitely from a good family and, you know, a long history, you know, nice family. I had a very, very comfortable life, you know. But I'm not, like, you know, super rich off and privileged.
So you're not a tortured soul or artist or anything like that?
No. No, I've learned, well, I just somehow learned and managed. And yeah, I think also I had a bit of a little financial education on the cruise ships because we were making money and we had no expenses.
Right.
So
you don't have anywhere to spend it.
Yeah, money was just coming in. And so as I started to come up the ranks on the cruise ships, a few wonderful people kind of took me in and were like, hey, you know, you're about to start making money. Maybe you don't even realize this. Like, you're about to start making money. Like, this is, you need to, like, make sure you put it away and you need to save and do like this. And, you know, that was pretty much the extent of the financial education. But just that it was talked about around me and it made me more, like, aware and conscious.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah.
There is something to the Judaism in the business. I don't know what
the only
Jewish
thing.
I was, well, my dad's side is Jewish. So technically, I grew up Catholic. But I was like bred to be a saver. Like that was a big thing, like growing up. And that's what I'm still the same way till this day. I save everything. Cause you know, in this business, there's a lot of rainy days.
There's a lot of slow time.
So
I'm like, if I don't have major savings in the bank, I'm freaking out.
Yeah. I mean, but I mean, but the thing is that being Jewish, I mean, we're making like so many generalizations here.
Not all that it's about, but there's definitely something to it because all of my friends that are Jewish, most of them are much more financially savvy. Not
really?
I would say more financially savvy, but they are financially savvy.
Right.
Especially, and I find a lot of people that come up that just are totally lost.
And
with
it's a culture, I mean, it's definitely a culture, you know. And I think in Judaism, they teach the kids how to, family life and so forth, you know, and business, sometimes a family business and all that stuff, you know. So it does happen, but we're stereotyping quite a bit. I mean, I know a lot of Jewish people.
Self-stereotyping.
Yeah, I know a lot of Jewish people do not have money, you know, including myself.
Right. you got to be, persevere. Be smart.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
That's true, yeah.
That's kind of part of this instruction, too, is like, you'll figure it out.
Yeah. Now, so growing up Jewish in the South, I mean, did you feel any discrimination or anything?
You know.
From the kids, from adults?
I mean, I didn't really personally feel that way. I think it was definitely a little bit around, and I think that, you know, I just wasn't very, I guess, overt about it either. And I think that we had friends that were a little more like, you know, overt and involved and, you know, proactive about their Judaism. It was more of a part of their life maybe. And I think they maybe came across it for sure. Definitely came across it.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know, I grew up like in the Deep South and, you know, in the 90s, and you think that was not that long ago or whatever, but there was definitely racism and there was definitely discrimination and homophobia and all that stuff was like really prevalent back then.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I'm sure it was definitely around, but I'm very much the type of person who, I just don't have time for that. Like, you want to, if you want to be like that type of person, like, I don't have room for you in my space.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're not, like, your words are not going to penetrate me.
Right.
You know, go ahead, say whatever you want. You know,
that's true. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think you need that for, you know, definitely for jumping into like this industry.
Right. And you need a thick skin in this industry.
Yep.
Yeah. Because a lot of rejection.
Yeah.
A lot of rejection, a lot of competition, and so forth. Yeah.
I think the way I developed the thickening of my skin was when I was a cruise director. So people would take the cruise and then they go home and then we'd send them a survey and like, oh, what did you think of the cruise? And you know, it was like, tell us your feedback, because it was really important for us to measure and to know how we can improve and make sure we know what the guests, you know, do they really like what we're doing? You know, we had to know.
Yeah.
So one of the questions on the survey was, you know, what did you think about your cruise director? I mean, literally, it was like I was a factor on the survey, me personally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I had a number assigned to me, like a number rating, and there was a lot of space for comment. And it wasn't even like I got the comments and whatever. I had to read the comments. Like, that was part of my job.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, the internet trolls, like, I'm not going to listen. And, you know, at first, you know, you get those first couple of bad comments and you're like, oh my God, what? No,
terrible,
why
me?
What happened? I'm devastated. And because, you know, no matter who you are, you know, you're 99% of the time, if you're working to please someone on vacation, you're coming from a good place.
Right.
I mean, maybe some of you out there maybe aren't, but I don't know. I was always coming from a good place. And even still, I would get, but it was always interesting because it would be like, we love Andy. He's the best cruise director we've ever had in 10 years. He's our favorite. You know, we will only sail with him. Like, he's a, you know, addition to the product, and we, you know, can't get enough. And then the next comment was, Andy's the worst cruise director we've ever had in our entire life. We would never follow him again. He sucks. He's this and that, you know. But it was just really interesting. And, you know, at first it was like, oh, God, no, people don't like me. No. Yeah. And then I just had to be like, you know what? Like, this is just a part of the business.
Right. Exactly. You know, and the people that take out the time to fill surveys usually are the ones that are pissed off and stuff, you know. So
And oftentimes it was like they were pissed about, like, their room was dirty and I didn't do anything about it, which I have nothing to do with.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever. But, I would always tell myself on the ship, I'd be like, you know what, this is good training for when I'm out there and when I'm a host, because what I'm trying to do, like, I'm trying to be, like, in the Ryan Seacrest space.
Okay.
And I mean, talk about somebody that gets a lot of hate, you know, I mean, everybody loves to hate on Ryan, you know, but he's an icon, you know, he's a legend now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get that too. And so I just I'm ready for it, you know, like go on. And that's when I know I've made something. And as soon as I get some haters, I haven't gotten a lot of haters yet out here in LA. So I'm like, I'm waiting for them to come, but I'm also trying to do my thing out here in LA is, you know, while I loved what I did on the ship and that hosting and working in that space, I really, really, I loved it. I was very passionate about it. But what I'm trying to do with this is to really be me.
Right.
You know, and this is me. This is what I think is cool. This is what I like. This is what I'm into. This is what I think is important. I think we need to shed light on this and that. And I'm just trying to really be as authentic as possible.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You know,
I think that's all you can really do.
Yeah, you got to stay in touch with who you are. You know, you can't change for other people and stuff.
You know? Now, I have to ask you, working for Royal Caribbean, I mean, how did you, like, stay skinny?
Well.
Like, that's all I would do on that ship is eat. Oh, my God. They have, like, the most amazing food ever.
That's well, true. You know, the whole weight on board was really interesting because the guests all come on and they all gain weight. And then amongst the crew, the food is very different underneath the underneath the ship. Yeah.
Oh,
you guys want some insider gossip? All right, here you go. So we eat on the cruise ships. We eat in an area called the mess. And it's just the old nautical term. It sounds terrible. But sometimes the food is fitting of the title. And it's not that good. So
there's no watermelon shaved into a swan?
Time there's a watermelon shaved into a swan is when it's left over from the buffet the night before and then it's cut in half right in front of your eyes and then dug out and here's your watermelon. And you're lucky you're getting fresh fruit. No, it's not that bad, but the food is fine. It's certainly fine. But I will be honest, going back like on my first couple of contracts and way back, I mean, I started in the cruise industry in 2003.
Oh, really?
Oh,
that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
I mean, and I watched that industry evolve very much. It grew and changed.
Can I ask what ship?
Yeah, I worked 6 years at Royal Caribbean. So I did like almost, I'd say over half of that fleet, almost 2/3 of it.
Wow.
So pick a ship. I probably worked on it.
Voyager.
You know it many times.
I was the first one to have like an ice skating rink.
Yeah.
I remember. And I did the rock climbing wall. I got all the way to the top.
Yeah.
I was like, that was probably one of my favorite.
Beautiful and it's very special because it was like the launch of a new generation of cruise ships. Royal Caribbean is very innovative. You know, they're not afraid to build bigger and ridiculous and just go where no one else has gone.
Right.
I think now Norwegian is kind of moving more into that space of being
NCL
the innovator.
Was great. We went to Alaska on a Norwegian cruise line.
What ship?
I don't remember which ship
Pearl?
It was.
If it was,
exactly,
I was probably your cruise director.
Oh, really?
If it was the Pearl in 2010, like-ish, I was probably your cruise director.
Really?
So, you would remember.
So what ended the so career awesome. On cruises? Why did you stop that?
Well, you know, I kind of did it all. I mean, I started in the cruise industry working in the kids club. I thought I was going to go out and do this for 5 months. I was going to make a little bit of money.
Right.
I was going to have an adventure. My first ship was Alaska and Mexico, Mexican Riviera, L.A. I always wanted to live in L.A. and be a talent agent. So I was like, how am I? This is great. I'm going to be in L.A. Like, meanwhile, I'm in San Pedro, which for those of you that are listening that are not from L.A., you're like 50 miles from L.A. So I was not really in L.A. I made it in like three times, that whole contract. But that was the bite I needed for sure. Yeah. But yeah, I thought I was going to go away for 5 months. And then I did one and I was like, well, why not? I'm sitting with, I've got $5,000 now. I'm rich. I could do another and have $10,000. Right. So yeah, I did it again, obviously, and again. And then again, wow. And then on the fourth contract of being in the kids club, I was like, I gotta do something different. I can't do this anymore. Like, yeah. I was like 25 or 24. And
this was the Norwegian Cruise Line?
No, I was working at Royal Caribbean at the time.
Oh, okay.
It was kind of shaping me up to be like, I don't think I ever want to have kids. If I work in this space any longer, like, I'm not ever going to want to have children, ever.
Really? They were getting on your nerves?
Oh, it was too much. Yeah. It was just like, I mean, I worked with kids aged 3 to 17. Wow. So I saw how they develop and how they at each point in their life, what they're like. And when you're seeing them on vacation.
Yeah.
And when they're, like, ready to cut loose and go crazy. And that's they're, like, true. It was crazy. So I had to get out of that. Yeah. And then I moved over to the adult activity program as a cruise director's staff. And I was like calling bingo and you dance line dancing on the pool deck. And I was like, this is the most fun thing I've ever done. So it was like a whole new career for me.
Right.
So I started over. But right then, as I moved over, I was getting older too. And I was ready for management and that responsibility. I needed that in my life. And I just was really putting that out there that I was ready for that.
Right.
And I got it like really quick. In 4 months, I got promoted to assistant cruise director. And that was a whole nother adventure. And then I was making money and I was a manager and I had a team and I had to report to people. And I was, you know, it was a big deal.
Right.
So I did that. And then I got I did that for 3 years. And then I was like, I'm really, you know, like I'm done. I need to figure out the next step because I just can't work for somebody else anymore. I need to let my vision come out there.
Right.
Of what I think this should be. And then I got lucky enough to get the cruise director job, but I wound up switching cruise lines. And that's when I went over to Norwegian. Amazing experience. And, you know, just met some fantastic people that really, you know, the vice president of entertainment had a chance encounter and he just saw me and I just, you know, was like, put it all out there. Like, this is what I think we should do. And we're not doing this over there. And I want to do this. And this is my vision. And he just got it.
Really?
Yeah. And he took me on and gave me a ship and was like, here you go. Like, run wild, do your thing.
Wow.
And that was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me.
So what does the cruise director do? Do you organize like all the events and
everything?
Everything.
Yeah. Really? You're in charge of all the entertainment, all the activities. You're in charge of the kids program, the sports program, the music.
Wow.
The
that's
theater.
A lot of work, huh?
It's a massive undertaking.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have managers for all those areas. But in the end of the day, you're the one that the hammer comes to, and you're the one that when someone's got a problem, it comes to you. So you're the top of that whole chain of entertainment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hook up with passengers and stuff?
Oh, like in that regard? No, you get...
Leave it to Sam to ask a question like that.
I love it. Go for it. Ask
I mean, I've heard of women that got it on with cruise.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. You know, I was very popular. It's funny. I'll tell you some funny juice. So I did not because you get fired.
Really?
So
not supposed to.
Yeah. No, I mean... Yeah. You know, let's not be honest, it probably happens and, you know, but you do get, I mean, you will be, I fired many of my best staff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not me personally, but they get caught.
Right.
And then I got to go bring them in to meet the captain. The captain's like, hey, you shtupped this girl and goodbye.
Yeah.
Here's your plane ticket home.
Yeah.
You know, that's against the rules. And that's that. Honestly, it's just way too big of a liability.
Yeah, it really is.
That's the only reason. It's the liability factor. Because in the old days, they used to encourage it. They're like, you know, you need to make our guests happy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, happy endings.
I know people that worked at like Club Med, like the adult ones, and it's like,
oh boy.
You're kind of expected
really?
To perform.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for the guys.
As a crew member.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So young kids out there, if you want to get laid, go work at Club Med.
Oh, my God.
But no, there's plenty enough. There's plenty of selection amongst the crew.
Yeah.
we'll leave it at that.
You guys can fool around among the crew and everything.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
A lot of ex-girlfriends left out at sea. But I couldn't take them with me. Sorry.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now, do you have any like tips for people that go on cruises? Like, where's the where's like the best cabins and stuff? Is that not the inside ones, right?
Well,
where you don't have a window or anything. I would get
definitely helps to have like the balcony is like the best little way to go about it.
For sure. You know, I would say like just my number one advice with cruising is honestly consult a travel agent because they'll really guide
you. Go to B&B Travel.
Well, there
call
you
my
go.
Mom.
Shout it out. Oh, your
mom was the travel agency.
Okay.
So I've been on like a million.
Yeah, the travel agents, they cruise all the time. They love it. Because, we loved Fete. On Norwegian, they were really good about this, about Fete-ing the travel agents, because we get it, because they are the ones that are going to really be our brand ambassadors out there. And I would say just go to a travel agent, because the number one way you want to plan your cruise is by just knowing what you want. You know, you got to be honest with what you want. Do you want to be entertained? Do you want to see destinations? Do you want luxury? Do you want budget? Because there's something out there for everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
And you just got to know what you want going into it, and you can find the right thing. Like, if you just want to get away and rage and party and not spend a lot of money, get a Carnival cruise, go in the inside cabin and blow it out, and go on a three-night cruise, and you'll spend, $400 and you'll have a blast.
Right.
But it's like, if you want luxury, don't go on Carnival or, and get an inside cabin,
If you want that's luxury, not the way to do it. That's why I was asking
Book yourself a suite on Norwegian in the, in the balcony in the penthouse area where you have the special service and the butler, which is like a slave.
I wasn't able to go, but for my grandparents, they renewed their vows on their 50th wedding anniversary. Uh-huh. So they did that. They got the whole, top deck practically I think it was a Royal Caribbean ship. Had like their own like elevator and everything. It was just ridiculous.
Yeah, you can get
I'm
that.
I'm so bummed I couldn't go. I didn't know. I want to graduate from high school a year early, and you couldn't miss so many days if you wanted to do it.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's why. But otherwise, that would have been like the trip of a lifetime.
Oh, heck yeah. No, and you know what? It's weird. Is like on the ships, that level of luxury is more affordable than on land.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny you say with the vow. I used to do a lot of the vow renewals.
Yeah.
And now I'm an online minister.
Oh, really?
I'm a minister. I can marry you two, when you two are ready.
I can imagine. I can imagine you have to be, huh?
Well, I wasn't.
As a cruise director, there's got to be someone who can marry people.
Yeah, they wanted us to be licensed, and I always meant to do it, but I never did. But I just often did the renewals, which you don't need a certificate for.
Right.
But now I'm like legally licensed, and I can marry someone in a legally binding way. And in fact, I'm marrying two very close friends of mine on Friday.
Really?
No
yeah,
way.
This
That's
Friday.
Awesome.
That's very cool.
Yeah. No, I'm so excited. I'm actually going back to Georgia on Wednesday. And the wedding's on Friday. Yeah, and then they're little Georgia.
But you're not going to wear like a rabbi get up or anything like
no,
that.
No, it's not religious. Yeah. I would not. That's what I say blasphemy in Judaism. We don't really say blasphemy, do we?
Not really, no.
I would not pretend that I'm rabbinical. Yeah. It's funny, actually. My friend that I'm marrying, I've known, from like high school way back, and she works in the nonprofit space, and she works for a temple in Atlanta.
Really?
And she's not raised Jewish, and she's like now more Jewish than me. She works in a temple every day, and she knows.
God.
And it's the funniest thing is she like speaks like a old Jewish woman now.
Really?
She's like gives me all this Yiddish slang that I would hear from my grandmothers, I'm like, Lindsay, what are you talking about? Like, this is like you crack me up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I should maybe throw a little in there in the service. We'll have to see. I haven't quite mastered the service, but I'm more of an underplanner for everything.
Yeah. I know. Well, to wrap it up, let me just tell you.
Oh, God, we're wrapping up on time.
A quick Jewish joke, because this just reminds me of it. But I guess this old Jewish woman is sitting in a restaurant, and there's three nuns sitting there discussing where to go on a trip. So one of them suggests New York, and the Mother Superior goes, there's too many Jews there. So the next one suggests, maybe we'll go to Jerusalem or something. She's like, nah, too many Jews there, And so then they go, well, how about like Miami or something? Nah, too many Jews there. So the Jewish old woman turns to them and she goes, Why don't you go to hell? There's no Jews there, you know?
Oh.
Yeah. That's very funny. And
yeah, the delivery sucked, man. I just dropped it. But it was
good. It's a funny joke.
Yeah. It's like, true. Are you supposed to say it like in the Jewish accent? Like, why don't you go to hell? There's no Jews there.
That was a better
answer. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we don't really believe in that. Are we out of time?
All right. Yeah, we're out of time. God. Andy Steinhauser, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank
Everybody
you.
Everybody, check out the story with Andy Steinhauser on Tuesdays at 8 on Channel 2. And very entertaining. And all the best to you. Well, continue with your
luck. Thank you.
With the hosting and everything you like to do.
Oh, and so much more to come, guys. Yeah, I've got my website. Everything's attached and everything's from there. So.
Yeah, you can give out your website.
Yeah, it's my name, andysteinhauser.com. It's actually on the LA Talk Radio page. So when you go to my show, you can go there and it's all integrated. The Facebook, the Twitter, follow, like, etc. I do all my like career announcements through my Facebook page, which is right there on there as well.
Cool.
I do a lot of like, you know, my kind of what's like, ooh, like the quick stuff on Twitter. Right. Do a lot through Twitter. And then if you want to know like kind of what's going on personally with me, I'd say follow me on Instagram.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
Instagram is where I do the like, this is what's going on. Like, here's where I'm at on Friday.
Sounds
I'm not with Mia at the Leather and Lace party, although I might try to get an invitation for next
there
time.
There you
I'm
go. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Well, Andy, thank you again. Mia, thank you.
Thank you.
Everybody, thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.